everybody. We are into week 6, Mike. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Day 43, and we are marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Not quite in sync there, but not bad. Not bad, it'll do. Hopefully, you can all hear us. It's been one of those days, hasn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. My iPad is telling me I have a connection. I don't have a connection. I do have a connection. I don't have a connection. It's all Virgin's fault. After we've been saying such good things about them. Naughty Virgin. Yes, started at 5 o'clock-ish, didn't it? About 10 past for me. There I was in a webinar. And I unceremoniously got kicked out. I thought, was it something I said? And then I realised that I also had my iPad on the desk where the Downing Street press briefing was happening. And that went as well. And I thought, this is not looking good. Hello, Jonathan. Cooking dinner. Do share what you've done. Mike did a fabulous dinner today. Shall I share?
You share.
It was freshly cooked chicken, which was gorgeous. But he'd put it with parsnips. Now, we'd not really partaken of parsnips until the fabulous Nina introduced us to the glory of her oven-baked parsnips. Anyway, this was the first time Mike had tried making parsnips very successfully. And there was mushrooms as well. So it was fantastic. Of course, this was cooked in the midst of the complete calamity that was our internet connection. So he's downstairs trying to sort that out. I'm in a webinar trying to keep up. It went. Then it came back. Then it went. So we've no idea what's going to happen here, but we do have a secondary connection as a backup. Just to add to the fun, in case overload happens, Mike's trying to do one of his Brooklands meetings as well. Today's not been a good day. An uncle, not direct, but of the family, passed away. 69 is no age, Jonathan, is it? Yeah, at least he's at peace, but that's no age. I think when you're your age, millennial, that seems like ancient. But to me, that's 16 years off. Oh no, when did that happen? That's shocking. First virtual funeral. Yeah, Mike did a virtual funeral on Zoom, but it was done beautifully. It really was. You would think, I mean, when you see, you know, people walking naked behind people and stuff on Zoom and you think it's going to be a farce, it really wasn't. Is it local, Jonathan? The one Mike went to was fair. Well, yeah, it was local, but it was so beautifully, beautifully done. We were surprised. We were expecting just like somebody with a phone, just pointing it and hoping for the best. But it really was beautifully done. In fact, the family were some of the family, a daughter, I think, was in Australia, and she would never have made it back anyway. She wanted to come back earlier, but the person did die from COVID-related problems, so she wouldn't have had time. But all of the words were put up on the screen. There was multiple cameras. It really was absolutely beautiful. I don't know how the rabbi did it, because he was doing his own filming at the actual graveside. And in the, there is a word and it escapes me, Jonathan, but you will know it. The How am I going to describe it? If it was Catholic one, it would be a chapel. So basically the bit where all the family are, and then they go out, and it was absolutely beautiful. So they knew how to mute everybody. It was a welcome surprise. They have embraced it amazingly. Our priest, not embracing it at all. He has done videoed funerals, but somebody else does all the work. And that was what was so surprising. I thought maybe they'd get somebody in to do it. Or if it was the celebrant doing it, it would be fairly primitive and basic. But it wasn't. He was actually sharing his own documents that he'd pre-uploaded. It was amazing. I was stunned. I can't remember what the word is, but there is a word, and it's not synagogue, is it? No, it escapes me. But there is a beautiful one at Not Phillips Park. What's the other one? The one next to the Alexandra. That's brand new, one at the Alexandra. So it's good that everybody's capable of now doing a virtual funeral, but who ever thought that you would need that skill? And it's quite difficult when you're attending as well, because if you're emotional, you don't want your camera on. Did you have a good day, though? Today's not been bad. Mike said this morning when he went out with Lola at 7:30, because I was up till heaven knows what time. He went out with Lola and he said the traffic at 7:30 was like normal, which doesn't please me. Later on, about 2 o'clock, the mowing mafia arrived. They are known as the mowing mafia because they annoy me intensely. They are normally when people are cutting their grass and doing their garden. As far as I'm concerned, it's all standard stuff. You know, it's a domestic mower, a domestic hedge trimmer. But a lot of people don't have the time to do that now, so they get professionals in, which is fine. But obviously, professionals are working hours. Mike, yeah? If you need to close the door, feel free. So the gardeners come, that door. Why?
So where has it been?
No! So we're not disturbing you when we get riotous. What was that word for that place at the cemetery that you go into after the powwow before the burial? There was a word and I can't remember what it was because like I've only been there once. What was it called? No, Mike can't remember either. It's all right, Jonathan can't. It'll come to us at some point. So the mowing mafia turn up and obviously they're doing that's their day job. So they're doing it during working hours. But they are industrial strength equipment they have. They wander out with 14 pairs of ear defenders on. Me, it's warm. I've got the windows open. I could not hear myself think. So I had to close the windows over. Then I got over warm. I think I actually did record the noise. It was horrific. The noise was really terrible. I'm thinking, like, you have no appreciation for all the people who are working from home. And at the moment, many, many people are working from home. If you're in the middle of a Zoom, you would have stood no chance. Now, that we did think about moving the office to the back of the house. But obviously, the next door neighbours and all of them, I mean, not just one next door neighbour, all of them have got gardens at the back as well. So it wouldn't really do as much good. So, yes, had a headache this afternoon, Jonathan. But apart from that, it wasn't a bad day. Hello, Paul. Had chat issues. We've had internet issues. I do have the air is running and there is a spare. But we've had the devil's own job trying to connect anything to anything today. The Virgin, who are our provider, have an outage nationwide. So much so, it's made our headlines on the Daily Mail, the Mirror, and another one. So, yeah, it's not good at the minute. They've had 27,000 calls telling them that it's down. Like, yeah. So, and everything's gone. It's not just our internet, but we don't take the phone. We don't take the TV, but they've gone as well. As far as I am aware, Virgin Mobile on phones. So no one's got any data if you're with Virgin. Not good. Not good. So, how's everybody else been today? We have good news. Boris is back. Now, I say good news. Boris can be a bit of a buffoon, but at least Boris has got a grip on things. So, first thing he did was come out and tell people how it was going to be, which is what I felt they need. His actual quote was, "This is the moment of maximum risk, and we're not coming out of lockdown." Now, if somebody could just tell the neighbours, I'd be doing well. But he's back. He's back at his desk. Hopefully reinvigorated with some good ideas and can keep the rest of them in line. So that was that one. The other thing that was announced was, well, two things, actually. One was amazing. Let me see if I can find the story about that. In the press conference this afternoon, what was announced was that families of NHS staff who have died are going to be compensated. With a payment of £60,000, which obviously doesn't replace a loved one, but takes the pressure off if they were the breadwinner, which I did not see that one coming. Didn't see that one. I literally just said to Mike, so Rachel's other mother and father would be in for 60 grand then if she died. And he went, yes. I said, yeah, I think that we'd all much rather have Rachel here. So it's horrible to think of it in those terms. It really is. But if you've already lost someone, I think that might be a blessing for you, at least financially. So I think that's a good move, I think. A good move. So you needed to tell the police. Somebody needs to do something with them, don't they? Oh, didn't see his statement. Was it good? It was Jonathan. He was on form. He was possibly not as well as he had been like 3 or 4 months ago. But it does take a little bit to get over it, doesn't it? But he was on form in terms of telling people a categoric no. The other people all seem like Priti Patel, Matt Hancock, that Eustace fella, all seem to be too afraid to say it as it is. But no, he wasn't. So he was forthright. I thought him coming out this morning was a good idea. I hoped to see him this afternoon. But no, I think it was Matt Hancock again. That was in the middle of everything crashing. So I only saw bits of it. So I did see Kim, which was something Paul was talking about, that the problem in the States seemed to be that there was a mixed message. And I did get... Oh, where's that gone? Crying out loud. I did see this image, and on it, there was somewhere dollar something. Is it Dollar Bucket or somewhere like that, which was a store? And people were next to each other. And then next to that picture, there was a picture of the some two people going fishing, like 2 metres apart. And it said, one's okay, the one in the store, where they're all on top of one another, and the other one wasn't. So I started to understand what Paul was saying about the mixed messages, that the things that were approved were ridiculous and the things that were banned were equally ridiculous in the circumstances. So I'm taking it you're not heading out to go fishing anytime soon. Not magnetic fishing either. For one, Jonathan, it takes away the cost of the funeral, doesn't it? Which... both mum's funeral and dad's funeral seemed to be a rather good value, I thought, didn't you? By comparison to what you hear a funeral costs these days.
Yeah.
I mean, you can maybe not get change out of about £6,000 to £8,000. It's ridiculous. I think it might have helped that mum knew the family that ran the undertakers. And there was also a discount if you paid within a week, which was interesting, trying to get the money out of the bank in a week, wasn't it? But we managed. Are you going casual, dear? Are you putting a shirt on?
No, it's a council meeting.
It's a casual council meeting, is it?
Yeah.
Shall I show them how casual you've got? No, you're fine. You've got clothes on, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have washed my hair, though.
Yes, I know. That's to keep it down, isn't it? Yes. Good luck with the internet.
Thank you. Same with Tim to you.
Thank you very much. I've got the backup sat here. The dog? Oh, Lola. Yeah, you've got time, I haven't. Oh, what's she doing now? What's she doing?
Lola.
She wants to go out again. She's been wanting to go out all day. She's just in and out like a yo-yo. It is a respectable amount. Obviously, you'd rather have your loved one, but if they'd have said 10 to 12,000... there would potentially have been a problem, because if you are the victim of a crime and die, there is an amount that they give you for that to cover expenses. It used to be 10 to 12,000. I think it's probably gone up, but I think 60 is acknowledging their service as well, rather than just your financial needs. It'll cost a fortune, but these people have lost their lives. And looked at more cynically, I wonder if it's, because I was thinking, if somebody had died on the NHS front line and their family felt that there was a lack of PPE, would they sue them? So this kind of takes away the need to do that, which means that the lawyers don't get their hands on their cut. So that's good news as well. Chicken and veggies. Oh, enjoy. Enjoy, Kim. So Kim's taken to wearing just the same 3 outfits. Nothing wrong with that at all, Kim. I always remember Steve Jobs with that. He said one thing he didn't want to think about was what to wear in the morning. So all his clothes were the same. his polo neck shirts, his turtlenecks, and they were black, and his jeans were black, which is cool. Nothing wrong with that at all. Shouldn't you be drinking it? I now know more brand names of American cleaning products than I knew existed. So thank you for that, the Don. I did just see something fly past on the BBC. So if you're in the States, let me know what's going on. It said something that the headline that flashed past was a new type of presser. And I think they mean a press conference. What's he doing now? The last I heard, he wasn't doing one. He decided that was it and he was gone. So is anybody else with Virgin, or is it just us that's suffering at the moment? I know Jonathan's with them. Are you still with that company that do the flats, Jonathan? With good speed and stuff. Loveless down there squeaking a chicken at Mike. I'm going to love it. Your parents are, but they haven't mentioned it. Ah, well, the thing is, Jonathan, you know, Daddy Isaacs might be painting and Mummy Isaacs will be supervising.
Right, she did actually want to pee.
Oh, that's okay,
but
then.
First and foremost, she wanted to take a toy out and play Zoomies. And now she's squeaking chicken.
Go to your meeting. Go to your meeting. She'll just have to behave. The other thing is, you know, like, sometimes if you're watching, I mean, if you're watching something on the TV and it goes, you'd notice. But most people aren't on the internet 24/7, unlike us. So some people just won't notice. That was what I found so fascinating about the site I used was downdetector.co.uk. It comes up third in the search when I'm looking for it. Ah, I may well have gone. I have no idea if I have now gone or not. If you can hear me, let me know, because I've got it's a spinning TV thing. So I don't actually know if I've gone or not. Oh, no, this is not good. I wonder if I should check up here. Yep, I think I've gone again. Mike, I think the internet's gone. Oh, dear Lord. Have I or have I not gone? Let me know. Let me know. I think it's gone. Crying out loud. Let's try somewhere. Let me know if that's gone.
It has indeed.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to have to switch. I'm going to have to just turn that off. Yeah. If I were you, I would put your phone on to 4G and just connect with that and manage it through that. Yeah. Right, I'm going to turn the Ethernet off and see if I can get back.
To the Mac that.
No,
just run the meeting,
from the phone. Okay. Because it's going to be more stable than anything else. You'd be in and out on anything else. Crying out loud. Okay, I'm going to make one service inactive. I'm going to hope that another service springs up and hopefully get out that way. Crying out loud. Crying out loud. Okay. I'm back. I think I'm back. I'm not a happy bunny. No, no, no. Can you hear me? Loving this. I'm seeing the chat. And do you think Elaine's talking to herself? Elaine did indeed use some Girl Scout safe words. I did carry on. I shouted through to Mike, I think the internet's gone. He shouted back, it has. So then I said, and then the dog squeaked a chicken. This is like sacrificing a chicken. So what I've done is, oh, this will be good. I'm not risking it, Mike. Mike's telling me he thinks it's back, but obviously it's up and down. There's a phrase I could use there, but I won't in good company. So what I've done is I've disconnected my Ethernet cable virtually, which is in your network settings, you can have active and inactive services. So I've made my Ethernet inactive, which means it's switched to the only other active service, which is my iPhone. Now, had a problem with the iPhone as well. Could not get that to connect either. It could see it, but it wouldn't connect to it. So in the end, I had to plug it in. So it's now telling me I'm connected to my iPhone via USB and I'm broadcasting. But who knows if I am or not? No idea. Right, you've got to keep talking to me now because otherwise I am not going to know. What I will do, I'll go to MacBytes FM on my phone. Let's see if this works. And if I can hear myself, then clearly I'm live. Otherwise, I'm not. So let's see how that goes. Might actually have to turn the Wi-Fi off on here. Crying out loud. Right, let's take the Wi-Fi off and see how we go. Right, am I indeed there or not? It's back, yay! Right, I think I am. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to press play. You'll hear, hey, there we are. Right, I've got myself live on my phone. So if I think I've gone, then I can check and I've come back. Right, so I'm on my phone. That was comical in itself. We used to have a very limited amount of data, something like 5 gig or something. And over the months, we kept upgrading until we got to 20 gig. And then I got a fantastic offer that offered me 50 gigs. So yes, we'll have that. Before I could even get to the store, an even better offer came on 100 gig. So we actually have in a month 100 gig on mine and 100 gig on Mike's. So he said to me, have you got enough left? It's mid-cycle. And I looked at him and I said, I haven't left the bleep, 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 bleep house, have I? And he went, oh no. So I had a look. I had 99.98 gig left. I have no idea where I use that 0.02 gig. But I should have enough. I should. Mike's back in now. How's your problem going?
Okay. I didn't have Zoom installed on the phone. I must have uninstalled it to do something.
If you need anything, let me know. There is a pair of headphones next door, but you'd need a dongle, which I can give you if you want.
No, please.
Right, OK, he's getting off. So, had 100 gig of data. So we'll check at the end of this show how much I've used. So probably about 3/4 of the show will be on mobile data and we'll see how we go. Good job I had all of that set up. Oh, have we got pictures that I haven't seen yet? That's because I've barely got an internet connection. Let me see where it is. Oh, that does look nice. An omelette thing. I do love onions. Salad onions are adorable. Love them. Love them. Love them. That looks fantastic. Excellent. So where were we before all of that catastrophe struck? Oh, this is going to be all day, isn't it? Thing is, it's been rock solid. We've never had an outage like this ever all the while we've had it. And that's 7 years. Tomorrow, Mike and I are attending a virtual conference all day. Or that was the plan. Luckily, if we run out of data, we are able to get onto O2 and get emergency data, which is very good of them, presupposing you can get through to them. But I think we'll have enough between us, but it will limit what you can and can't do. It's been one of those days. I mean, I know in the great scheme of things, not having any internet's not a calamity. But, you know, today I was trying to attend a webinar and I got kicked out. Now, you know, all the stuff we looked at when we looked at Zoom. And one of the issues was the security. So Mike went through it all and he wrote that article. So I looked through it and we both said, this business of locking the room when everybody's in. Mike went, yeah. He said, I know where you're coming from. I said, what if somebody drops out in the middle? How do they get back in? Well, I can answer that for you today because it happened to me. The short version is you don't. You can't get back in. So once the connection had gone, about 12 minutes later, it came back. Zoom tried to connect and then you get a message that you can't connect. Not pleased. Did actually manage to get back in the end and then got kicked out again. So now we had everything planned for the week and I'm behind with that webinar, so I'm going to have to catch up with that. Heaven knows what Mike's meeting's going to be like. Then I've got, you'll actually hear, this is the one, even if you've been here live, you might want to keep in the feed and listen to again because you'll hear what was going on here when you couldn't hear it. It was basically just me talking to myself and cursing, but not cursing badly. Just like, really? Really? You were all right between six o'clock and 7 o'clock, but not 7 till 8, nor 5 till 6, which were the 2 hours of the day I needed you to be okay. That kind of talk. Oh, Jonathan, no, don't wish that on us. We'll just have to do what we've done tonight, which is I could do a quick change. This is one of the things I talked about years ago when people looked at me like I was insane. I think it was 2012, 2013, and I was doing a series of webinars for training professionals, but face-to-face training professionals. And they were very much of the mindset back then that nothing was as good as face-to-face training, and that there were things that you could do in face-to-face training that you couldn't do with webinars. And I was of the mindset of, rubbish, if you can do it face-to-face, you can do it on a webinar. And I was doing a series of best practices webinars. And one of the things I said was, what do you do if your internet goes down? And they were like, well, can't happen, can it? And I said, well, you need a backup. And back then, you used to be able to buy those MiFi devices where you would pop a card in and it would just have mobile data on it, which we still have kicking around somewhere. But over the years, our phones have improved to such an extent that you can then tether a Mac to through your iPhone and get connectivity. And the connectivity is not a bad speed either. Should I do a speed test? And I hope it doesn't fall over. There we go. Let's do a speed test. No, not that. No. Right, speed test. Did a speed test before and it was fine and dandy. Yeah, now it's not having it at all. Do let me know if you can still hear me, because I'm now dubious. I'm dubious. Looks like we won't see Apple's app anytime soon. Is my phone 5G? No, it's not. My phone is 4G. It's an iPhone 11 from September last year. Apple don't have a 5G phone at the moment. There are companies that do. I think Samsung have probably got one. Possibly that OnePlus might have. Graham would know. He follows them. What on earth is that? Well, that's interesting. I'll share that one with you on Friday. The other problem with 5G is, apart from the fact we didn't have many masts to start with, they've been burning them down. We've been on 4G since I got the iPhone 6 Plus, which was September 2014. So I've been on 4G for 6 years. Hello, Paul. Just to apprise you in case I disappear, although everybody else will let you know, internet woes. So I'm on my phone. So far, so good. But if the phone goes, that's it. I don't have another way to connect. I'll have to get the tin cans out, the ball of string and a pigeon. So we'll see how we go. I can tell that my normal connection is all right at the moment, but I'm still not switching to it because you lose me when I switch back. So we don't want to be doing that. So what speed do you get on your 3G, Kim? Let me try and do a test on here and see what I get with that. Right, speed test. Let's just do it. Right. So it's connecting to a Manchester server and then doing a speed test and letting me know what my speed is. And it's not good. Oh, dear. It's not good. Seriously, it's about 5. And normally it's about 940. Yes, it's running at 5.5. However, in better news, much better news, my upload is pretty amazing for a mobile device. My upload is 19. Yep, touching 19. You don't have good cell reception at all, so you have to have a landline. We went with a company for, you know, the MiFi device I've just mentioned, which gives you mobile internet. We went with a company called Three, and the signal was fabulous. We watched a football match on it when we were out. It was great. We had that because it was cheaper than getting more data from our phone supplier. And it was fantastic. It really was fantastic. Until we got it home and we couldn't get a signal in the house. And obviously we wanted it for a backup. So the fact it was brilliant everywhere else, it just wasn't good in the house. So we took it back and explained, and they were brilliant. And they said, no problem, you know, our fault if you can't get a signal in your house. You don't have to pay for what you've used. We'll just cancel the contract. They were fantastic. So much so I said, you know, if you ever do get a decent signal in our house, we will come back and we will take that. But no, we don't do very well. The other company we were with before O2, I mean, O2, I've got a full signal, 100%. But the other company we were with was Vodafone. I'm sure Jonathan will remember me and Vodafone. We don't get on. But Vodafone were actually pretty bad here. Dad would sit in the front room and he was on Vodafone. At the time he was on Vodafone. And he couldn't get a signal. So you'd have to stand up with your phone in your hand, lift it as high as you could, try and get a signal and then move to it or go out in the garden. It was just the front room that was like a Faraday cage. Everywhere else was OK, not the front room. But I think I mentioned before, we have slate in the walls. And our Wi-Fi signal struggles to get through the slate. That's why we have so many Velops lying around relaying the signal. So basically between the front room and the back room and then the extension. So if you imagine looking at the front of a house, we've got a door on the left hand side and a window a door on the right hand side as you look at it and a window on the left. That window's the front room. Beyond that's the back room and beyond that's the extension. And the slate is between the wall, between the back room and the extension. And to get a signal, we've put a Velop on the inside of the wall and another one on the outside. So it literally only has to go about 2 foot, if that, and that solved the problem. So the extension has two Velops, one at one end of it, one at the other. And the one at the far end of it is literally to piggyback on the one that's in the back room. I mean, there's a window there. So you would think this slate wouldn't make a difference, but it makes a massive difference. For on the front of the house, there's it's a gastropub. There's a gastropub and it's about a quarter of a mile up the road. Not joking. We can get a signal there from our Wi-Fi, but we couldn't get one in the back garden, which is no more than about 15 yards away. So that's why we've had to, you say you would front load something. We've backloaded the Velops into the house because that's where we struggle with it. Catching up. Use your phone to tether a few times and the internet dropped. Works well, only issues the data limit. That's why we ridiculously pay for 100 gig. We never use it, ever. The nearest we've ever got to it is when we were away in February and we'd had like an outage at some point. And I ended up using about 22 gig. But out of 100, you know, so people say like, why do you pay for 100? For situations like this. Because there's no other way. And actually, we ended up paying less for 100 gig than we were paying for 22 gig. It was ridiculous. We were paying something like £24 for 22 gig. And now we pay 20 for 100 gig. It was ridiculous not to upgrade, which is how they've had us. That's what we did with the internet, if you remember. What we had was £6 more than we're paying now. Of course, back then we had a connection, so yeah, might have to be thinking about this. Have I looked into Trip Mode? I have, Paul. I've got Trip Mode on my laptop. It's a very, very good app. Very good. The Ohio governor announces dentists and vets an elective surgery with no overnight stays to open on the 1st of May. Okay. I thought vets were open already. I know it's only for emergencies. How do the dentists and the vets feel about that? Have they got enough PPE? Because Kim was saying dentists really are at the thick of it, given it's in saliva. That's scary. That's scary. 0.28 down and 0.18 up. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. That's not good, Kim. That's the kind of stuff we used to have. We never had anything other than a 3G iPhone. But every now and then it would drop to what we call edge. I don't know if you've got that connection. When it goes down to edge, it's like that. That's probably what we had in February when we were away. Our O2 was okay, but Rachel had moved and she couldn't get a phone signal and nobody else had much data. Luckily, the hotel had Wi-Fi in it. It wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't brilliant, but it wasn't bad. But that's really not good, is it? I've just made a point to Mike and said, shouldn't we be getting some kind of rebate for all this 4G we can't use? And he said, yes, but you're using it now, aren't you? Oh, damn it. I did get an email, Jonathan. Did you get your email from Admiral about the car insurance? We figured because our policy is a joint policy, we'd get £25 back. No, we're getting £25 back each. So that's £50 coming in, which is rather good of them, I thought. That will get them such a lot of business and goodwill. Can you just move to the pub? That would not be a bad idea, Simon. Absolutely. It's really, I won't say it's nice as in classy looking, but it's one of these funky, trendy things. Like rustic benches and that don't match. So each bit looks slightly different, but it's a beautiful, light and airy place and the food's fabulous. So yeah, that's not a bad idea. Of course, at the moment, it's shot. Right. I doubt dentists will be working as they're very little PPE. Gowns are $5 a pop. What are they normally, Kim? Rachel paid £30 for a pair of scrubs. So that a top and trousers, and it was £30. They're not the disposable ones at that price. They are the ones that you would then send to wash. I thought that was quite expensive, £30. I would have, because, you know, there's very little to them. It's just like cotton, isn't it? I would have expected them to be maybe 18, but it was £30. What's that I did indeed, Jonathan? Oh, me and Vodafone. Was that me and Vodafone or was that something else? I can hear Mike in his meeting. Shall I have a look and see what he's up to? I can actually do that, you know. I can. Let's have a look what he's up to. I don't know if he's on the computer yet, but let's sneak in. He'll never know we're there. Never know we're there. I might even take some screenshots for you. Ah, the Admiral Insurance. Brilliant, brilliant. At least you didn't have to mither them. Oh, what's so funny is you didn't know they're an Admiral company. I don't know why they have all these multiple brands. I never did understand that. When I worked for a local solicitor, we did personal injury claims on car accidents. And there was all these insurance companies. And you're like, but there's only like three. And they're just different brands. And then the brand goes away and then springs up again as something else. I don't understand it. They must get a really bad name and then go under and then come back. Ah, remote desktop isn't connecting me, is it? No, you wouldn't be, because I've just turned the Ethernet off, haven't I? Swine! I can't see him. Oh, well, never mind. Never mind. So what else have we been up to? Not the scrubs, the disposable gowns that you've got to change into between patients. Ooh, that $5 is quite a lot then. I'm thinking if we had a dental checkup, it would be £37. You know, if you had to pay £5 for a gown for the dentist and £5 for a gown for the assistant, that's like over 25% of what you're taking in for that. That's horrific. I must admit, my dentist is so cool. Yeah, I think he thinks, okay, Jonathan, when you go, enjoy. Tomorrow should be more. That's what I said about today. And anyway, calling the family won't be in any way, shape or form calm, will it? Not if Daddy Isaacs has been running around with a loaded paintbrush. Oh, no. Then there'll be big trouble and we need to hear about it. Now, my dentist, I think he thinks pretty much everything freaks me out. In his mind, it's like when I very first went. But that was like 5 years ago and I'm absolutely, totally laid back now. I trust him. Which was words he never thought he'd hear me say. So he tends not to gown up in much at all, to be honest. He's got a pair of black scrubs on. He does have those paper hat things that you see in operating theatres. Obviously, he's got a mask and his rubber gloves. But if he's just doing a checkup, he'll put his rubber gloves on and that's it. What's going to happen now, I don't know. Masks are £7 each. That's ridiculous. Yeah, he does change his mask between patients now, I think. He has a box of them. So it's a new mask every time. But $7 each is criminal. I'd have expected them to be $7 a box. No one's going to be able to afford this until the PPE thing sorts itself out. This is why I do understand where Boris is coming from. Boris is saying nobody should be going out unless it's an emergency necessity for food, blah, 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 or walking a dog. Because if they do, they'd have to wear masks and they haven't got any masks. So if they're buying the masks, then there's no masks for the frontline people who need PPE. So why can't we all just stay home? Oh, and in other news, can we keep the gardeners at home as well? Because they annoy me. It really bothered me today because it's been so quiet. You could hear the birds singing. It's been wonderful. When I went to London Zoo years ago, there was a display and it said across the top, enter to witness, I think the word was, the most destructive animal on the planet. So you walk into this thing and there's a hole that you can look through. And as you look through this hole, you're just looking at a wall and you're thinking, well, where's this most destructive animal on the planet? As you walk round the other side, it was like one of these seaside boards where there's a hole and you put your face through it. So in effect, it's you. So I agree with that. And there's a lot of memes going around as well about animals at a zoo looking out and throwing bananas to those marooned at home, which I've loved. I've absolutely loved those. Recommended to wear N95 masks if you can find them. I looked up an N95 mask on Amazon and I think the delivery was over 2 months. And there was a delivery on it as well. Now, while I think about delivery, so let me just see if that's the same one. N95. Is that still the same on delivery and price? What's naughty on Amazon is when you look up N95 masks, any masks are coming up. They're obviously putting them in the keywords. You can get fabric masks for about £5. The ones my dentist wears are, used to wear, the 3-layer disposable thing. And they, how many's in that? £31 for a box of 100, which I've got a sneaking suspicion weren't that price before. All right, let's just pick that one and see when the delivery is. 12th of June. We're not into May yet. That's 10 face masks. So they just can't get them out fast enough, can they? No saying they'd ever actually arrive. Yes, Kim, I had news. We do have N95 masks on Amazon, but not many of them. Ah, push mower, quiet. You see, that's what I like. We had a hover mower. It makes very little noise. But I did actually record some of this noise, so I'll put it on a slide on Friday and you can suffer my pain with me. It was ridiculously loud. It was obscene. I actually had to get up and close the windows because I couldn't hear myself think. Mike was out the back and he thought they were in the back. I said, no, they were in the front at that point. He was working in the extension so Madam could luxuriate in the garden. No, the thing on delivery I had to mention, Kim, there was a conversation about a $3,000 TV with you and Jonathan last night. And Jonathan saying, well, that would be $300 delivery. And you said, yep, that's right. We got our Costco thing today. We have a Costco. It's about 3 miles up the road. So it's a store that you can go in, but they also do home delivery. So I was looking at it and I thought, well, how much is the delivery? Because I figured it would probably be very similar to your own. Found the delivery. No charge. We get free delivery. Is that obscene or what? Why would you be paying? Because I'm assuming the goods are no cheaper. Why would you have to pay 10% delivery when we pay nothing? Not even a flat fee do we pay for delivery. There are companies that charge a hefty delivery, but I can understand why. So we have an IKEA and small items will be sent DPD and they'll cost you about £10 delivery. The bigger stuff like wardrobes and kitchens, they're £29 delivery, but 10% just seems obscene. I think you need to complain, Kim. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing? Anthony needs to be apprised as well. If I disappear, it's because I'm on a mobile because I've got no internet connection. It's been a fun day here today. Are you with Virgin? Although if you were with Virgin, you probably wouldn't be with us. Oh, shall I check the map, see how the outage is doing? Not good. Covering the whole of the UK at the moment with 32,000... 437 reports, and it's actually going worse. So let me take that. I'll take that, and then go on, save it. Where you go? Today. Good. All right, so open that up. What on earth? No, that's towels. Ah, that's the one. Right, upload that one. And if you upload that one, maybe I can share it from over here. Oh, let's see if this works. If it does, that was seamless. Whoa, scary beans. Right, is it that one? Let me have a look and then I can share it with you. You can see my pain. There's my pain. Right, let me put the link in for you. Not getting any sound, and what I do hear every so often is garbled. Oh, okay, Paul, see you on Slack. Goodbye, Paul. That could be because I'm on mobile, but it also could be anything else, couldn't it? Could be anything. Let me hear what I can hear. No, not that one. That one. Let me have a listen. Okay. Don't pull that out. How's the sound for everybody else? I am loving that one, Anthony. Right. Can anybody hear me? Oh, now you want me to trust you in everything and all sorts. Get on with it. Right. Can anybody hear me? I don't think you can you? Not good. Right. I'm plugged in, but I can't hear myself. So if I can't hear myself, I don't know if you can hear me. Let me do a start and stop and all kinds of other stuff and see if I come back. If not, I may well have gone and that could well be the end of the show. Mobile connection, anybody? Nope, I'm not hearing myself, which is not a good thing. Oh, no, I think I'm back, but maybe you can tell me if I'm back. Failing second connection here. There we go. Right. Paul can hear me and he's in Sydney, so that's fine. If you can hear me, technically speaking, everybody should be able to hear me. Excellent. Right. That was the second connection being shonky, so I'll leave that. But if you look at that picture that I've sent via Droppler, that's what I'm seeing at the moment in terms of complaints. So as you can see, it's been fine all day. There's a tiny bit of a bump there in the afternoon. And then the first spike of the three, the one on the left, was 12 minutes past five. And that's what it's been like ever since. So it's gone three times. So it has actually come back twice. And that was what Mike was saying, you know, with it being back, should I leave it? And I said, no, probably not. So I'm going mobile. I hope he's going mobile because it's still going up and down, as you can see. But that's the number of reported problems, which is normally you may get 200-300. But, you know, when you're up into the thousands, the whole thing have gone. I do feel so sorry for people who have their TV and landline phone with Virgin. Because when that goes, the whole lot's gone. Rachel's just moved her mobile phone to Virgin, which seemed like a great deal. She got a really good deal. But then your mobile phone wouldn't work either. So at the moment, she would have nothing. No TV, no landline, no landline internet and no mobile internet. So that's why we keep it separate, even though we pay a couple of pounds more for it, just in case. This isn't great, is it? Oh, this is not boding well for tomorrow. The Virgin haven't actually said what the problem is. And I found it really weird that if you try getting to the Virgin status page, it seems to be hosted on Virgin. Which we were with a company many years ago and they were really small. And they put their status page on another server somewhere else entirely. If I click on Virgin status, I can't see it. So there's things like, how do I check my status with Virgin? And the short answer is, you're not doing that right now. But luckily, Down Detector was working, so I was able to find out. But how long before all of this is fixed? I don't know. Should I have a look at Twitter and see what they're saying? Followers for everything Virgin Media. Right, let's have a look at some of the replies. We are aware there is an issue. We are trying to resolve it as soon as we can. And that's every tweet, literally copy and paste job, every tweet for like the last 500 tweets. So it will probably be sorted sometime soon. But no, you can't even get to their own support page, which is not bad. I agree with you, Anthony. When you look at the status page, 9 times out of 10, with all companies, Apple are the worst. All our services are working. And you're staring at a message that says iCloud's down. And they just swear blind everything's working and it's not. I'm on to my third one, Kim. The belt braces and whatever comes after that. Because the main one I've had to turn off because that's down. Then I went on to the secondary tethering, but then I actually had to plug it in and use the USB tether. If that goes, I am without a paddle. We're done after that. I'm assuming Mike's okay because he's not come out. But yeah, sometimes they are aware of issues and they just don't want to admit it publicly. It's too late for this one because it's nationwide. So once it's in the Daily Mail, that's the end of civilization. I wonder if it's actually on the homepage of the Daily Mail. Virgin Media broadband outage affects thousands. That was only 12 minutes ago. Oh, and there's some stuff about poor Richard Branson. Yeah, don't get me going. There we go. Oh, yeah, I'm using an ad blocker. I am indeed using an ad blocker, and I do not want you to unblock me. What browser doesn't have an ad blocker these days? I don't think I've got a browser that doesn't have an ad blocker. I must have. I've got 13 browsers. Let's have a look at this one. Let's get you installed and have a look. I'll see what it's got to say about it. First off, I can get the link and I can share it with you. This is what's... This passes for news. Enjoy, Simon. Enjoy. This passes for news. And that's one of our national daily papers. I wonder what people will think about us years from now. You know, you see people do research, like all the genealogy people we have, where you're looking at old newspapers. We just seem to have complete garbage in the newspapers now. In fact, I saw a really good meme on Facebook today that says, can we put the media in quarantine for 80 days? Because we're pretty sure for 30 days, we're pretty sure 80% of our problems would disappear. And I thought, that's so true. Totally agree, Anthony. When I look at something with ads, I am, as by comparison to without ads, I'm horrified at just the sheer number of ads. I mean, this, when I look at the Daily Mail, which I'll admit isn't often, it feels like there's a lot of ads anyway. But when you look at it without an ad blocker, oh my word, the whole screen's jumping and there's ads behind everything. So do we have, they've got a picture from Down Detector too, and a load of tweets, which is what qualifies for journalism these days. Just get 10 tweets and call it a story. 4 in 10 households have experienced issues with broadband since lockdown and has impacted their ability to work. Customers opting for download speeds of 51 meg or more, fast enough to easily download files, made up less than half of all switches at the beginning of March. And of course, you wouldn't have been able to switch. I don't know why people are posting on this thing that I've just sent you and basically complaining to Virgin Media. Oh, dear. Right, what's Tracy saying about Jonathan? Oh, goodness, what's happened? If you're following the chat, Tracy, you may be referring to the fact that one of his uncles has died and that he attended a virtual funeral. So that was how we started the day, with terrible news. Which gives us, what would you say, focus and perspective, because you've got Duff Internet. We've got an extra internet and it's all fine. So, we've managed to keep going. We did go at one point, which will be in the recording, but we're back. So how's everybody else's day gone? You share with me. How's everybody else's day gone? Back working? Not working? I'm supposed to be at a conference tomorrow. That's what's concerning me. So I may need to get more data. And it's also going to scupper what we had planned tonight, which I was going to share with you tomorrow. So fingers crossed it comes back in time for us to do what we were hoping to do. Not good. Not good. Right, what else did we have planned for the rest of the week? Oh, yes, yesterday you were all interested in Markdown. I'm glad I mentioned that. So many opportunities to look at Markdown from lots of different angles that I think you'll all enjoy it. Jonathan will. I've found so many things that are on setup. He's going to be giddy. Sadly, he's not with us at the moment, but maybe he'll catch up later and then he'll find out. And what else did we have? I was wondering when the next iteration of Camtasia would be out. I said to Mike it should have been March. Then I had to go and correct myself. It wasn't until June. But that's only 5 weeks away, which is terrifying because in my head it is still February. It is still February. Mike's going to have to make up his mind about his software, which was Ulysses. And did he go the Ulysses subscription or did he go... for the setup subscription. So he's got to think about that one. What else was there in the update stakes? The Mac update stakes. Because it keeps telling me there was lots of updates. I don't know if they were point updates or if there were other updates. Who uses things for their to-do thing? That was very inelegant, wasn't it? Their to-do thing. I've got OmniFocus and I've got Things as well. And Things is absolutely beautiful. It is gorgeous on an iPad and I keep wanting to use it. And then I remember there's so much that it doesn't do that OmniFocus does, but OmniFocus drives me mad as well. Oh, and who uses Bean? That was something that we, yesterday when we were talking about text editing, I got in my head there was a free text editor and I couldn't for the life of me remember what it was called. And I went and checked. It's still going. Brand new version a couple of days ago. It's called Bean. It says it's a word processor, but I would say more of a text editor. But it can do sort of mini things. Mini things. So who uses Bean or who has heard of Bean? You may never have heard of Bean. Oh, so Tracy uses Things. Do you use it on an iPad or a desktop as well? I've heard very good things about Todoist and I love the fact that it's in a browser because that makes it completely platform independent. But there's a couple of things it just doesn't do. And I've because of that, I've steered away from it, which is most unfortunate. I do love the fact it works in a browser. Everything, you use it everywhere for everything. The thing that it doesn't do that I wish it did is put that you can put things on hold. There's a mechanism inside OmniFocus where you can literally just put something on hold. So you can add stuff and it not get in the way of the your active stuff. And that is something I've always used and it's fantastic that. And it's just not there. And that's the other thing. I don't think it's there with Todoist. It's the same thing that's missing, this ability to mark it as inactive. So I keep going back to OmniFocus and then remembering all the reasons. It takes a lot of triage in my mind. And I don't want something that takes a ton of time and effort to look after. But you have to do as a more professional solution. I think I looked at that one as well. I really fancied the idea of taking it in a browser. Is that one in a browser? Let me have a look. To do. Was that the one I looked at? The icon looks similar, I do believe. Touch ID, touch bar support. Nope, that's an app, isn't it? Is there a web version of that? That's got nice cloud sync, hasn't it? Toodle-Doo was one that I tried as well. It says uses that for multi-platform synchronization. So I think I did look at that. I quite fancied the idea of having access to my to-dos in a browser. And that came from the fact that OmniFocus were working on browser-based access for people working on Windows. Because there isn't a version for Windows. And that was fine. I was in the beta program for a while. It was very primitive by comparison. But it meant in an emergency, you could crank up a browser and you could see your tasks. And then it became that part was a subscription. And I'm like, what? Because I'd already bought and paid for the phone version, the iPad version, and the Mac version. What they then did to mitigate the fact it was a subscription was you pay a flat rate for the subscription and you get all that software that I bought for free with the subscription. Now, when I say for free, obviously you're paying a monthly subscription for that. But the monthly subscription for all of the software and the web version is like price X. And I would have to pay a subscription, even though I've already got all of the software, just to access the web version. What they did to mitigate the pain of that was take the price down. But I think the price, let's check it out. The price that it was when I looked at it was $5 a month for everything, or $3 a month if you just want the web access. And I thought that was diabolical. I thought, you know, maybe a pound if you've already bought all of the other apps, like a sign of goodwill maybe. Who redesigned this website? Looks like a two-year-old with a crayon. Right, let's have a look at the prices. Buy. Oh, good grief, there's so many different prices. Oh, wow. Right, monthly price of $9.99. Not being funny, but that's the price of setup. If you want just OmniFocus 3 as a standalone, then it's $99.99 for the pro version. You can upgrade an existing license. If you want iOS one only, $74.99. So then there's a combined set of buying the purchase one. So if you want it for the Mac and for iOS, that's $175. Now, obviously, I have already paid that over the years. So I can get a web add-on subscription for $4.99. So it was going to cost me $60 a year just to access my data in a web browser, which is 50% of what it costs for the whole thing. And that to me was too much. I just think it was overcomplicated, not necessary. I must admit that then put me off using it at all. So as Anthony says, started with OmniFocus, wanted to like it, seemed too unwieldy. That's exactly Mike's approach with it. It's a weird situation that they put themselves in. They brought out the first version, and I don't know if you remember this far back, Anthony, but OmniFocus itself was an app that was built out of some scripts that were created for Omni Outliner. What was it called? It had an odd name, but it was a guy who wrote some scripts, and the scripts turned Omni Outliner into a to-do app. It was very, very awkward. You know, it was like, can I run that script? Oh, do I need to run this script first? But it did it. They then gave this guy a job and they brought out version one of OmniFocus. And it worked in a very certain way. Then they brought out an iPad version, which was great. I remember Jonathan many years ago waiting for the actual day it was released at 6 o'clock so he could download it. And I was just as bad. And it was great on iPad. Then they brought out version 2 for the iPad, which made the Mac version look prehistoric. So they then redesigned the Mac version. When they brought it out, it looked pretty, but half the features were missing. Half the customization, in fact, 99.9% of the customization had gone, which to me was its power. The fact that you could buy... changing the appearance of it, you could mix that with the perspectives and totally change everything about it. The entire look of it, the feel of it, how it worked. It was amazing. All of that went. So they took that out. I think they must have had criticisms about that. And when they came back with version 3, they'd kind of put a little bit back in, but nowhere near enough. So you've got like the Mac version that looks and works one way and the desktop version that looks and works another. And the fact that there was no access in a browser clearly put a lot of people off. So it feels a little bit disjointed, unfortunately. Now, Mike, when he was using version 1, said it was ridiculous. It was just far too complicated. When he tried version 2, he said like that wasn't flexible enough. Then he looked at version 3 and said, you know what, I'm done with this. Done with this because it had changed to such a degree it was unrecognizable. I do keep going back to it though because it's the most powerful. Having said that, I'm with Notion, I'm fast coming to the conclusion of being a little bit easier on myself in terms of, do you know what? Don't overplan anything, because as has been proved tonight, you know, so far my day was fine until 5 o'clock. I'm in the middle of a live webinar. I've got homework to do with it. And I've got to, you know, basically I've got to do it live. And now I'm going to have to wait for the recording and I'm going to have to play catch up in the next sessions tomorrow. So then that totally alters what I can do tonight. So I have eased up on myself a bit and said, you know what? Just do what you can when you can and don't worry about it. That's working for me. I can highly recommend that approach. But, you know, at the moment, people are more forgiving with you. But heaven knows what will happen down the line. I'm happy to report it's now 8:06. It's totally quiet outside. Thank the Lord. Maybe they're all at home now. Obviously, there's no pubs, clubs, socials, and we're not supposed to be mingling. And Boris has given us a telling off. So maybe that's why. But it's a lot quieter. Hopefully it'll be a lot quieter where Jonathan is as well, where they keep congregating on the grass outside his flats. And I've still not heard from Mike, so I'm presuming he's going all right as well. Well, Friday I've been working on, so we've got Mark down in there, definitely. No one's let me know if they've ever heard of Bean. Does that mean you've never heard of Bean? I could possibly throw Bean in. It's a very, very good app, and it's still going, and it's still free. There's a few quirky apps that I've been looking at. I've got another browser that I don't think any of us have ever mentioned. And it's just done an update. I'm wondering if I'm on some kind of beta thing, though. Who's ever heard of OmniWeb? Let's do a check for updates and see what it says. No, it's still in beta. I think it's been in beta for the last 10 years. So, but it's not a bad browser. Interface-wise, it looks a bit off. Doesn't match any of the others interface-wise. But Vivaldi at the moment's one of my favourites. You've heard of it. Now, was that Bean or OmniWeb? Bean, I would imagine. Bean's a very good app. I must admit, I haven't had it installed for about 3 years. And that would be when I bought this Mac and I didn't bother putting it on. But I remember it back in the day. It was always handy just to have a very clean, very minimal text editor. Now, when I'm looking at it now, it actually does look much more like a word processor right now. It only seems to support Mojave and Catalina. It was updated yesterday. So I think we'll take Bean for a bit of a road test, see how we get on with it. I can't believe it's been that long. Ah, OmniWeb. OmniWeb has been in beta. This is version 6. Now, it's a passion project. It's not something that they sell, although I think at one point they did. OmniWeb. Let's have a look what it's got to say. So it's version 6, but it's in beta. And it must be at least 3 years, seriously. He did do a blog post about it at one point. To look at it, it's very dated now. But it does have some features that are unique to it. And that is really because, I mean, it says it's no longer actively maintained. When it was under active development, it was a powerful award-winning feature-rich alternative to mainstream web browsers. But they are clearly still bringing out like maintenance things. So there's some test builds that you can find. It does look very, very different. But just like now, most of my browsers have got ad blockers in. Now I'm looking at this Daily Mail with no ad blocker. Oh, Anthony, what happened? I totally agree with you. Wow. I can't see the story for the ads. It is ridiculous. But I'll keep OmniWeb on there for situations like that where I need it. So Paul's not heard of Bean and you're hearing of Bean. Bean's very, very good. I'm wondering if it would read a docx file. I will have a look at it and report back. But it's got a very long pedigree. They've even opened up Bean 2 to be open source. And it's still completely free, which is pretty amazing these days, isn't it? I'll have a look at it because we're going to look at that, aren't we? We have things to look at that we went over at the weekend, particularly Markdown. And there's so many Markdown editors. But we'll be looking at the best of them. So we've definitely got that in for Friday. I even got to within about 10 posts of catching up on Slack. So I was doing very well. Right. Anthony, you might have to have a play with Bean. It has white text on a blue background, which takes you back to your misspent youth. Oh, I had WordPerfect. Oh, Loved it. I got a Commodore Amiga 500 for my 21st birthday with a colour printer. Whoa, back in the day, a colour printer. It used wax, believe it or not, and heated it onto the page. But that was in about April when I was 21. And in the autumn, we didn't have anything in the north. I had to go all the way to London, which is about 220 miles, it was a computer fair, a huge computer fair. Nothing like WWDC, but it was where you could buy things, where you could see the latest and greatest, all of the shops went. So everything was pretty much computer mail order back then. But this was like a big computer conference type thing. And we went down there and there was a stall and it had WordPerfect for the Amiga. And it was, like you're saying, the white text on a blue background. And it was like, oh, wow. And my mum said, you've got to have it. And I said, are you kidding me? Now, bear in mind here, at the time I was a student. I was still, it was the year before I went to Oxford. So I was still at London, undergraduate. And WordPerfect back then was about £550. At this event we were at, computer fair, it was reduced to £450. But I mean, still £450 for a student. That was about 25% of what I lived on for a year. And even then, that included petrol. But my mum said, no, you've got to have it. And she insisted on buying it. Oh, it was amazing. That was the first word processor that was, oh, it could do anything. Really, in terms of features, have we actually moved on that far? Not really. It could do labels. It could do mail merge. It was amazing. And I stuck with it until way after I met Mike. He wasn't a word processing boy at all, never used one. So before we got going out, he wrote me a reply to that note I sent him, and he typed it up in a spreadsheet. Couldn't use a word processor. But I used that until, I must have used that for about 7 years. And then when I went to a PC, I got 5.1 for DOS. Oh, it was fantastic. Because it just worked. There was no crashing or generally piddling around, was there? Everything just worked. As things moved on and WordPerfect wasn't what it was and it had to move to Word. Oh, what a painful transition that was. It was hideous. It was like, well, I just want to put that doesn't work well. And if I just, that doesn't do it. Oh, it was a horrible transition. So what I had to do was literally think, okay, WordPerfect was fabulous. Just forget everything you ever knew and try and understand why Microsoft have built it this way, because you're not getting anywhere unless you do. And that was what I did. And once I let go of everything I knew from WordPerfect, Word started to make more sense. But Office 365 imports WordPerfect files better than it imports all Microsoft ones. That's not surprising, is it? That'll be because they wrote the thing. Oh, dear. I do remember converting stuff. I found things in Word that were actually better, but they were so hard to discover. The discoverability, and I'm talking about 1995, was not good with it. It really wasn't. To be honest, I still say that to Mike now. I'm sitting looking at an app that maybe I'm not 100% familiar with. And I'm like, well, where would that be? It should be there. Well, why would you put it there? And if there's a rationale to it, great. But increasingly, there isn't, which is what I say to Mike. That at the moment, you hear so much about teaching kids to code. Can you not teach kids to code until you've taught them logic? Because you can learn to code and you can learn what words to use and how to make it do something. But then you're doing it in a wholly illogical way because nobody's done the analysing requirements. And the analysing requirements is just so important. There was an actual exam, a Microsoft exam that Mike needed to contemplate. And it was called Designing and Analysing Requirements. And all Microsoft exams had a number. And this exam's number was 70-100. And Mike just loathed it. He was like, I'm never going to get this one. Like, I'm never going to get the the other ones. It'll come to me. It'll come to me. But he said, you know, the network stuff. He hated the network stuff. And I was eating the network stuff up. I had that many network books. It was frightening. But he was into the development side. So it was understandable he didn't want to think about the network. But on the other side, you'd think, well, development-wise, he'd be fine. No, he hated that. A 7100. So instead of saying we need to analyse the requirements, we started using 7100 as a short form of saying we need to analyse requirements. And a lot of these developers, when you look at how they've built something, they clearly couldn't analyse the development side to save their lives. And I just wish they'd teach children that first and then teach them to code. Designing slides with a non-graphical DOS interface. Oh my. The first time I remember doing something similar, it was semi-graphical. It wasn't as bad as that, Tracy. It was an app called Harvard Graphics. And Mike had it at work, so he used to bring a PC home at the weekend. And I think that what I was interested in this Harvard Graphics was it had like clip art and it had some pandas. And I absolutely adore pandas. And he said, well, we'll get it loaded. And it was all on floppy disks. You had to load everything. But it was DOS-based. Harvard Graphics. My word, those were the days. Ah, it was the same one. All I remember about it was these pandas. He brought it home for the weekend and he bought a printer with him. And he got the pandas up and showed me how you got them in. And then we printed the pandas out. And then they lived on my wall for a while. And I moved from that one to CorelDRAW, which was more the equivalent of Affinity Designer. But in between times, there was another one called Corel Presentations. When Corel bought WordPerfect and made their own suite. Oh, an Amstrad PCW. Never had that one. Did hear of LocoScript. The one I used on my Amiga before I got WordPerfect was a suite that came with it. When you used to buy a computer back then, you bought a package with it. So there was either, there were three distinct packages you could buy. There was the business package, which came with the word processor, database and spreadsheet. There was another package which came with gaming stuff and a joystick. And the third one came with a musical keyboard and it was for musicians. And I wasn't into gaming and I wasn't into the music, so I just went for the business one. And it was called Calc. The spreadsheet was Calc. Now, what the heck was the presentation one? It wasn't the word Word. Nope, I can't remember the name of it. But I definitely remember Calc because Mike was like, oh, that's a spreadsheet. And he was straight into it. And I was like, yeah, I looked at that. Didn't really know what to do with it. But I'd use the word processor that was in it. What was that called? See if I can find it. Well, what on earth would you look for? Amiga 500. Let's try spreadsheet and bundle. Oh, let's see if we can find it. Turbo Calc. That was one. Turbo Calc. Wow, is it in there? I don't think mine was Turbo Calc. Going to have to find this now. Oh, there's loads of stuff here. People reminiscing about Amigas. Mine's still in the loft. No idea if it'll turn on. But Turbo Calc was one of them. They're still selling it. It's probably more stable than anything you or I are using. SuperCalc was your first spreadsheet. Oh, wow. I'm trying to remember which my first database was. I used Ask Sam, which was a freeform database on PC, but I didn't actually have that. Do you know, I think it could have had the word super in it, but I can't remember the rest of it. Could have been Super Data, something like that. I'm going to have to go back and have a look at these. Couldn't see it on your computer and had to walk across another office to see it. That is classic, Tracy. The things we thought were normal. Isn't what we've got now absolutely amazing when you really think about it? We had, at my second solicitors that I worked at, everybody had a printer on the desk. But at the first one, there was only one printer. So like 27 secretaries were printing to the same printer. That was when there was a rush job on, that was a calamity, I can assure you. Yeah, so the sneaker wear that went on there was going to pick up your printing. Mike's pretty much got something similar at work now, though, to be honest. Nobody has a printer. The printers are now absolutely huge and they're in like a print office type thing. DBase 3. Oh, Anthony, you're going to have to talk to Mike about datarees. He was the UK's number one expert on datarees. When I first met him, datarees and one that began with a, was it a P? But datarees was his absolute baby. And I met him and he said, I've got to go to Plymouth. And I said, what for? Why are you going to Plymouth? It's like 250 miles away. And he said, well, you know, I'm doing some datarees. And I said, can't somebody else do it? And he went, no, there's only me that does that. And it, the company that made datarees sent people to Mike's company because he was the go-to man for datarees. And he went all over doing it. But I must admit, it was never my favourite. I didn't like the way it worked in terms of you could have X number of databases in a box of whatever, but an entire help desk system. Oh, you are going to have to talk to Mike. He's going to read this chat later and he'll be like, how could I miss that one? Because that's his big thing. Oh, I know the other one. Paradox. Do you remember Paradox? That was the other database at the time. People tended to use either DataEase or Paradox. I ended up training Paradox. I never trained Datarees, but I did train Paradox. And an email system. Wow. Mike built one a few years after that, I'm guessing. What year was that, Anthony? Mike wrote an entire, it wasn't a help desk system. It was a training booking system. And he called it DIBS. DIBS, the booking system. But it was amazing when you think what you could build. I had him building things for me and then I built some stuff. But it was a task of love, wasn't it? You got into the zone and you just kept building. I loved it. That's the kind of job I absolutely adore doing. The things that drive me mad are where I've got to stop and everything feels so fragmented. But when you were building back then, there was nowhere else. You couldn't like, oh, just go and Google it. Didn't do it, something like that. But oh, yeah, that was amazing. 1985. Yeah, Mike would have been building around that time. There wasn't there something on. Not DOS. There was a network operating system that was like DOS and it had very primitive mail stuff with it that you could basically send a mail probably to an IP address. And I found I had a room full of people I was supposed to be training in XML. I mean, XML and UML pre-2000. That was unusual. And they were all programmers and network engineers. And throughout the training, they were just having conversations amongst themselves on this network system thing until I pulled the plug. That stopped them. But yeah, I do remember that. Absolutely. Oh, Mike's going to be talking to you about that tomorrow. Right. Okay, then. Well, we better head off. Well, I've still got some data left, haven't we? But we will be back tomorrow. Now, I've got slots free on Friday if you think of something you'd like to see. We've definitely slung the Markdown one in because lots of people got onto me and I'd like to know about Markdown as well. So we've got Markdown coming up on Friday in After Hours, but I have free slots. So don't think, oh, I won't send that in until. Send it in now. If you've got any ideas, maybe we could look and see if we could find a nice simulator for an Amiga or an old PC. That would be cool, wouldn't it? And I also had a list of stuff that I came across in Slack. So if anybody has put anything in Slack, I am aware of that as well. So that's what I'll be doing for a little bit of tonight while I try and sacrifice a virtual chicken to Virgin so I can have my internet back. I think it's up at the moment, but that doesn't mean it will be up for very long. I reckon they're going to have to fix this overnight. So it could go into tomorrow. We don't know. But the good news is I've got enough data probably for all week and I can always buy more. Thank you very much, Kim. Good night to everybody else. So Deb wants access as well. You see, Mike does more access than I do. I did access a good few years ago. Now, if it's access, Deb, where do you want to start? How much do you know? This is our problem. We don't know whether to go in at the very basics of what a database is or whether it's beyond that. So let us know in Slack. We need to know where to start with it because it's a huge topic. What we're trying to do is say, right, well, it's a database, and a database is a database. So we'll try and make it that this is Access. But if you're using Notion, it would work this way. And if you're using something else, it would work that way. Right, right at the beginning. Well, that makes it simple, doesn't it, Deb? I will pass that along. Okay, then. So good night to you all from me. Good night to you all from Mike. It's a busy boy next door meeting. We'll both see you next time, which is tomorrow. And until then, one job. Keep safe.